The University Tower chimes bring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my right, from the College for Creative Studies, is Professor Dave Chow.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Excellent. So how are things downtown today?
I haven't been down there.
Oh.
I don't teach on Fridays anymore, so I avoid
really?
The mayhem.
Really? Interesting.
So I just wander down from the comfy confines of Berkeley, and I'm here.
So. Okay. All right. So you don't even head down to school?
Nope. I'm there enough already.
Such loyalty.
It's true, though.
I'm an alum. Come on.
This year, I'll be 30 years since I graduated.
Unbelievable.
They actually let me get out of there.
Wow. You're not even 30 years old yet.
I know. I'm still trying to grow up, so.
Wow. I've learned a lot about you today, Dave. A lot.
I've stayed in that place already, so.
Unbelievable.
I'm a fixture. You know, like a toilet bowl.
A fixture. Continuing around the table, Professor Kendra Evans is here from the Department of Chemistry and Biochemistry.
I am here, and I do have an update. And it's on April the giraffe. She's still pregnant. I'm not sure when this is going to air. Maybe 2 months from now. Probably still pregnant.
That giraffe,
April the giraffe
has been pregnant for a long time.
Has been pregnant for a very long time. You look confused. Are you not informed?
There's this giraffe.
Where does she live?
She lives at an animal park in New York. Still pregnant. All the eyes watching. I think it's causing her some anxiety.
I know. I'd be kind of.
I've been keeping up with a little baby hippo.
That's
being nursed.
Yeah, well, that one's already here, though.
That's right.
So where's the anxiety?
Did we already have this conversation? What's the gestation period for a giraffe?
Evidently 15 months.
That's a long time.
But I'm not really sure, but I read it. I didn't start watching this until the last week. But I heard that she was due in February.
Okay. Wow. That is kind of a big deal. Professor Joe Abbasett is here from Communication Studies. What animals do you follow online?
Tigers? Squirrels, mainly on YouTube.
You see the eagles in their nest or whatever it is?
No, just like people playing with squirrels.
Sure, absolutely.
And they get along. Well, I mean, they're very friendly.
Right. You just like watching them try climbing up the bird feeder with a slinky,
the
right?
The slinky.
Yeah.
I'll be feeding some out here
the
summer.
I see. Nothing wrong with that, as long as you're careful.
Yeah,
they can carry weird diseases and have eerie powers.
No, they're friendly.
Yeah, they are, usually. Especially the ones that live in the garbage cans and eat all of our old junk.
As long as they're not in the walls of my house.
Yes, that's also true. Yep, that sound is hard
it
to get
could
out of your
be
mind.
Worse. I knew someone when I was growing up whose family kept hearing noises in the walls of their house. He was bringing something down from the attic one day, the fold down, and it had sharp edges, and it knocked through the wall, knocked the plaster out of the wall, and what was in there was a nest of pygmy rattlesnakes. That's what was making the noise. So it could be worse.
What state was that?
North Carolina.
Wow.
All the more reason to live in Michigan.
Yeah, we've only got one species of rattlesnake here.
And it's less likely that it would be the walls of your house.
Yeah, and Mississauga rattlers, they don't climb up in your house much.
Much.
Wow. Continuing around the table to Professor Jim Tubbs.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Now that I've enlightened you with that.
Terrified.
The Dr. Doolittle of the panel here. Thanks.
Oh, my gosh. That was, that was particularly terrifying.
The Slitherer.
You're wearing green for Slytherin today.
Yeah,
that
green
much is
for
true.
Slytherin.
Yep, exactly. Well, I guess I don't need to ask you the animal question, so I'll move over to Professor...
Puppies. I like puppies.
Okay. Professor Nico Seymour, what animals do you keep up with online?
I have decided to fill my social media with French bulldogs.
Oh,
and,
I see.
And just yesterday, somebody sent me a video of a French bulldog inside half of a hollowed-out watermelon, and he was wearing a hoodie, and he ate the watermelon from the inside, making his little breathing noises, as they do, and then he tipped over, and then he got back in it, and his human stood the watermelon back up, and it was wonderful, and I was crying.
Oh.
Actually... crying.
You were deeply moved.
They are irrationally cute.
There
and I would sell a kidney for one. And that reminds me, I have a surgery coming up.
Okay.
I'm selling my kidney for a French bulldog.
For a French bulldog.
Worth it.
There's several packs of them that roam around the city. You could just try to snare a feral one and train it and stuff.
I could do that.
But they're ersatz French.
They're French Canadian.
French Canadian bulldogs. Yes.
Quebecois.
Folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. Dog nationalities, perhaps? If you stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. And if you don't stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp or find us on the Facebook. When last we had our heroes gathered, we were taking some questions from Eric Alessandri of Dearborn Heights, Michigan, 48127. And we had a few more that we had left to do here. We had just figured out the use of the word wicked to mean good and cool, and first use of the word t-shirt was first printed by F. Scott Fitzgerald in his novel This Side of Paradise. Continuing from there, which famous director came under CIA surveillance for using uranium in the plot of one of his famous movies?
Dr. Strangelove?
It was not. It was 1946. Hmm.
John Ford?
No, that's a good guess, though. Very good. Contemporary of this director.
Hitchcock.
Hitchcock, mm. Yes. So Notorious had a bit there about uranium, and who knows what it would actually do. I don't think we even really fully understood it back in the 40s, but social commentary. In which branch of the military did Johnny Cash serve?
National Guard.
Mm-mm. It's not what it says here.
The brig.
Air Force.
Air Force, yay!
Oh, yeah.
I
am
surrounded.
Air Force. Dun, dun, dun. After the Library of Congress was destroyed by the British in 1814, how was it replenished only a year later?
From the Library of Thomas Jefferson.
The Library of Thomas Jefferson, absolutely. Oh, nice. How do you like this, by the way? The U.S. government purchased Jefferson's library for $23,000.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, that was 1815 money, you know? So
and all of a sudden, he had all kinds of room at Monticello.
Yes. You know, they just didn't they just uncover a little chemistry lab that he had behind a wall?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Really?
I always he dabbled say in everything.
Jefferson was as close as we're ever going to have to a scientist president, probably ever. And that was a long time ago.
Yeah, it could be further away.
Have more confidence.
Ooh.
No joke, they were doing some drilling for like installation of some Wi-Fi hubs. And they're like, what is this behind this wall? They did some, you know, echolocation and they cracked it down. And there was a little lab that they didn't even know was between these two rooms.
I mean, how can there be hidden rooms in like the most famous house in America?
I mean,
it seems like we should have a pretty detailed floor plan with, like, room measurements.
In part because the rooms are all unusual sizes and relations to one another. Some of them are octagonal, and they're just different. And so he had openings between rooms in some places so that people could serve and be just unseen, basically.
So it's deductive reasoning would tell us that Thomas Jefferson may or may not have been Batman.
It's possible.
If you play a certain chord on a piano, bookcase
or tip the head back on one of the maids, click a little button, and
pull down a candelabra off the wall.
Oh my gosh. Which Roman emperor issued the Edict of Milan, making it legal to be Christian?
Constantine.
Constantine.
Said it before I could.
Constantine.
17 years of Catholic school. You get one question.
I don't remember
right.
The church history, right?
Sorry to screw up the one Catholic school question.
Which former University of Detroit quarterback was the fifth overall pick of the 1953 NFL draft and a longtime NFL coach? I know Joe has a special connection to Detroit sports.
Is it Joe something?
No, his first name was Ted.
Oh. Ted Marchbroda, yeah.
Marchbroda, that's right.
Colts.
Very well done. Eric, those questions were wonderful.
Yeah, good questions.
Good questions.
Yeah. How about this set of questions? Dear profs, I'm honored. Trying to do my best Kathy Bush there. I just heard my questions being used in a recent episode, but rather than resting on my laurels, I'll send in more. Below are 10 questions for the fine show. With any luck, maybe I'll get them read on the air soon. Sincerely, Judy Palmer. Thanks for sending these in, Judy. She comes from the city of Gmail. Oh, how nice.
Oh, Gmail.
Where are we going to put that on the map?
It's the one big pin.
In the cloud.
The Ethersphere.
Ethersphere.
What New York City landmark was the focus of the 1996 Sylvester Stallone movie, Daylight?
Oh, the Lincoln Tunnel.
You know, it's a tunnel. It doesn't say
Holland
the Lincoln.
Tunnel.
Holland Tunnel is what it says.
Everybody out of the tunnel.
Sir, I wrote that myself.
Your daughter's in the tunnel.
Exactly. Who was the president that purchased the very first U.S. savings bond? I think we know this by serial number. 1941.
FDR.
FDR.
Says FDR, yes. And to show you guys how safe it is, I'll do the first one myself. Sir, that's only $2.
And he cashed it in the next day behind, you know.
Right, exactly. Saw,
right? So, yeah, this is how we financed World War II. Exactly. Oh, and the kids would collect their coins and the cardboard things and then go trade them in for a war bond.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I mean, my generation is not untouched by the use of bonds. I think at some point between 15 and 18, my dad showed me a stack of these. He had done the subscription model where like one came a month or a week.
Remember
or something.
Remember when that was one of our options here?
Yeah,
I have
it was.
A stack like that in my safe deposit box that I'm just, well,
he
I don't
flung
pay
them
much
on
attention.
Me. And he said that I had to, you know, cash them out to pay for high school, but each one needed an individual signature
yeah.
on the back. And so for yes. like 2 hours, I was just like...
So your dad got your signature. How old were you then?
Like, let's say 15, 16, you know, something like
okay,
that.
Now, I don't know about you, but I'd like to think my signature when I was 15 was a little different than it is now.
Probably.
I was barely learning cursive.
Probably.
It's because you didn't go to Catholic school.
It's okay. I'm a Detroit Public School kid. We put
they
X's
don't teach
down.
Cursive anymore.
That's true.
Well, in my day...
We used to chart sentences, and we liked it.
I did like charting sentences.
Diagramming sentences was fun.
That was fun. Yeah, you got to use a ruler.
They'd go off all the board.
Oh, yeah,
you
get the prepositional phrases. You get, like, a couple, you know, side things.
I drew mine out. It was easier.
Right. What famous singer had this
Cher.
Name when they were born? Herbert Buckingham Corey.
Herbert
I mean,
Corey.
I suppose you could call this person a famous singer.
I was gonna say.
Best known for plucking away on a ukulele.
Tiny Tim?
Tiny Tim singing
Herbert?
Through the Tip-toe tulips.
By the way.
I was thinking like Lindsay Buckingham, but okay.
I was thinking of like Marilyn Manson.
Well, that's probably also possible, but it was Tiny Tim. What was the famous wedding, Jim, of Tiny Tim
and Miss Vicky on the Tonight Show.
Tonight Show. That's
Johnny
right.
Carson.
Mm-hmm. Which U.S. president got elected to the office without winning the popular or electoral vote?
Gerald
Jackson.
That's not what
he
it
wasn't
says
elected,
here.
Though.
I think you could say it was the first president who wasn't elected to office without winning popular electoral vote.
Wasn't it Andrew Jackson?
That's not what it says.
No.
Yeah.
If that happened to Jackson, that's fine, but this one would have come before.
Oh.
Before
Andrew Jackson?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know it's in that era.
Adams?
What, James Monroe? Pierce?
Yeah, I mean, it says Quincy Adams. Mm. John Quincy Adams, because the decision fell upon the House after
yeah.
they couldn't get a majority either way. So the House voted him into office.
Oh, a non-nuclear option? Oh.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I would say that if you said Ford would have been the only president who never had any election associated with his being installed as president
right.
of the United States.
Yes, but John Quincy Adams, that created a great deal of hostility on the part of Andrew Jackson, who then went on to beat him in the next
There you
election.
Go. There you go.
Hmm.
Okay, we've had this question before. It is an all-time favorite, and you guys should know it just because of its cultural value. There are only two characters that we'll talk about after a break.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter at AskTheProfessor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
We are back with some great questions from Judy Palmer, and I was just about to ask... Who are the only two characters on The Simpsons who are drawn with five fingers and five toes? And
Jesus.
Jesus is one of them.
The devil?
No. No, not the devil. Everybody on The Simpsons only has three fingers and a thumb. That's
and
the way
dog.
It's always been. Nope.
No, I mean the dog is included with the family.
Well, yes. Santos.
Santos L. Halper.
I know they've drawn Jesus... That.
How about I tell you that this person, in popular understanding, is related to Jesus? We were just talking about the classic Simpsons quote last night.
It's not Ned.
Just, no.
The leftorium's got...
I thought that was a giveaway, but it's God is the other person who is drawn with five fingers and five toes.
He's categorizing God as a person.
That's confusing.
It is confusing. The quote we were going by was, I want to say season two. I know I brought it up here before. Homer dreams about meeting God and says, I just want to kind of celebrate you in my own way. And God gives him a high five. So Bart says, after the fact, when he's relating the story, "You met the big cheese? What was it like? Good smell? Good teeth? Class act all the way." Homer's appreciation for God. There you go. But God is always wearing sandals. And right. So is Jesus. So that's how you know they have five toes. Which came first? The University of Wyoming or the state of Wyoming?
University.
This is a trick question. Yeah, it's got to be the university.
Well, university came first.
Yeah, universities were built in territories before the states.
Okay. University of Wyoming Cowboys were founded in 1886 and the state not till 1890.
I see that they're posting billboards all over the city.
They are, aren't they?
Looks like it. Western Michigan has been putting Western Michigan. It looks exactly like Wyoming's color.
No, it's
logo.
True. It's the same sort of motif, right?
Yeah.
Wyoming is a big old state. That's all I know.
About as empty as it gets, though.
Yep. Least populous state in the union, right? Yeah. I think they only have a couple representatives for one district that's the entire state, if I remember correctly.
What was it, like three electoral votes? Too?
Yeah. Yes, yes. Easy to ignore during a presidential election. Who is the composer of the Peter Gunn theme song?
Henry Mancini.
Yes. Oh. His friends called him Hank. Yes. Popularized by the Peter Gunn. And,
Dwayne Eddy.
And the Big Red Marching Band.
And
Blues Brothers.
Blues Brothers.
Oh, okay.
Blues Brothers.
Yes. I kept thinking
when
Dwayne
Eddy. Walking
Eddie
in and Carrie Fisher's standing outside with the rocket launcher. Right. I had to work Carrie Fisher into this episode. Thank you.
You got it. What famous company founded by Henry M. Leland? Well, what famous company was founded by Henry M. Leland and his son, Wilfred Leland?
Cadillac.
No, but you're really close.
General Motors?
Nope.
Buick?
Mm-mm. Pontiac?
Mm-mm.
Was it
exists
Chevy?
To this day after having been absorbed by one of the big three.
Chrysler.
No, it was a GM. Nope.
That's not what
Buick?
Pontiac, Buick. Oldsmobile.
Nope.
No, that was Ransom E. Old.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Coolest Charlie name Brothers. Ever, by the way.
Pontiac.
Say it one more time.
What famous company was founded by Henry M. Leland and his son, Wilfred Leland? And no one
Did
said
you
Leland
say
and
Buick?
Sons.
Did someone say Cadillac?
Buick. No one said, someone said Cadillac. Yep. Yeah.
Oldsmobile. Said,
they decided to go for name recognition and took someone from history and slapped it on the front of their car.
Lincoln?
Lincoln Motor Company was founded by the Lelands.
Who said it was GM? Somebody just say it was GM?
I mean, Jim was in the wheelhouse. The wheels were turning. He knew it was a motor company. In Mexico, they're nicknamed submarinos. What do Americans call them?
Submarines?
Nope.
Oh. El submarine.
It is not. I will just tell you right now, get all the ideas of any kind of sub or submarine sandwich out of your mind, because it is not. It is a food product, but it is not a submarine sandwich. But it's shaped the same way.
Hot dogs?
Not hot dogs.
Burrito?
It is a, for lack of a better description, a dessert.
Churro?
Nope.
Oh.
Come on, Joe. What? You're sculpting in midair.
I used to live by a bunch of Mexican restaurants when I lived in Madison.
Submarinos.
Eclair.
It's a dessert, you said?
Eclair is a good one, yeah. I would call it a dessert. There are things that people say that this dessert has in common with cockroaches. That's about the worst.
Twinkies?
Twinkies, yes! Greatest clue ever that they would last a nuclear blast.
Yes. Shelf life for 5 years?
Shelf life is very long for a Twinkie. Submarinos. Wow, I had a very, very disturbing crossover with an NPR article on the radio this morning that said there is a downright epidemic of diabetes in Mexico right now.
Yeah, I heard the same show.
Directly connected to their intake of soda.
And they were talking about the non-carbonated real sweet beverages that they sell on the streets all over the place.
The volume of Coke, just Coke, drunk by the country of Mexico on a daily basis is 3 glasses per person per day. It's incredible.
And several years ago, they began taxing the sugar content of them. 1 peso for every 100 calories of sugar or something like
3 glasses per person.
Per day for the entire
per
country.
Per day.
And then we're also taking...
is absurd.
It's out of control.
It's out of control.
I'm bathing
and
in
the
it.
Story of my life. But, I drink through today.
Well, their Coke tastes sweeter down there, too.
Oh, it's true.
It's got the real sugar. Diet. It's the only kind worth drinking.
But diet, regular.
But then you've also got to factor in, like, the infants, too, that somebody else is making up that slack.
The elderly, the infants.
It's really hot down there. I mean, you need a refreshing beverage.
No, the infants
beverage.
Probably drink it, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
The children
I have great nieces who did, out of a bottle.
Yeah, breastfed, you know.
But the good news is the soda companies are part of the solution to the problem.
No pun intended.
Yeah, no.
It's not just Coke, by the way. That's the point they were making out. I mean, around here, you go to Mexican Town, you can get Doritos with the best of them. But yeah, it was
but
really
that
disturbing.
That is the major cause of death in Mexico is diabetes.
Absolutely incredible. Let's finish off these unbelievable questions from Judy Palmer. We like it when they come in little chunks here, Judy, because we get a chance to talk about all the different kinds of things. Not many people would remember this, except for some hardcore fans. How many seasons did Bill Murray, famous actor, Kendra and I were just talking about.
So fun.
Did he appear on Saturday Night Live?
Three.
Five.
Yeah, two. Three is the correct answer. Yeah, right off the top of your head.
He wasn't. He
the
wasn't
first
with the,
three.
No. He wasn't originally on there because Chevy Chase was on there. Remember?
I think he replaced Chevy Chase, but then he was only there for a couple of years.
Yeah. He's so funny.
Well, was very early on because he and Gilda were great. She was Lisa Loebner.
Yeah, Todd.
He was Todd. And poor Mr. Loebner was born without a spine.
Oh, my gosh. Those are absolutely awesome. Absolutely awesome. Kendra, I hope you'll forgive me for bringing up our conversation was, remember when Bill Murray did funny movies and not these recent weird movies?
So
I do enjoy
now.
The weird movies.
Not me. I like him in the funny way.
He doesn't do those movies
Tootsie,
anymore.
He's sitting there eating slices of lemons through the whole movie. They never once mention it.
And what wasn't he also... Was it Bosley on Charlie's Angels?
That's right.
Movies?
Charlie's Angels movies, yeah.
He's been showing up in all the Wes Anderson movies. Lost in Translation.
Grand Budapest Hotel.
Love that.
Those are all, Wes Anderson stuff, right? Yeah, absolutely. Well, I don't know how much time we have left, but we can jump into these. We've been asked to hit them up fairly quickly, and so we will. It's great to listen to the show while I'm on family leave, professors. You don't know how many lame one-liners I come up with just listening to your show and not even being on the panel. Looking forward to seeing you all in the summer or fall, but in the meantime, here are a few questions for you. I'm not sure how many of you served in the military, so I'll set the passing grade at a very low
70%. Are we the source of the lame one-liners?
Yeah. Is that a compliment?
Professor Jason Roach from the Department of Communication Studies and the Department of Toddler Chasing.
Oh, yeah.
The following questions are from the Glossary of Military Acronyms from the Department of Defense Terminology Program. I got to say, I would actually I bet I could get a 50% on this just from having had Mark A. Benvenuto, retired U.S. Army, for my boss for these last 16 years. What is an AAV?
Vehicle.
Armored. Definitely, the V is vehicle and it is not armored.
Artillery.
Nope.
Anti-air.
Amphibious. Yeah.
Amphibious is the first A. Amphibious blank vehicle.
Assault.
Assault is correct.
Amphibious assault vehicle.
You put it all together. That was awesome. How about ALCON? Alcon.
That's what falls from oak trees. Oh, no. It's acorn. Oh, my bad.
And where did that... Someone called it an eggcorn the other day, and I'm like, I've never heard that before in my entire life.
That is incorrect.
Exactly.
Alcon?
Alcon. Alcon is more of a abbreviated portmanteau.
What would be conflict?
You'd probably put it at the top of a memo or an email.
Something confidential?
Pretty close. Pretty close.
Almost confidential.
already confidential.
It says here, to all concerned. It's
all concerned.
Everything together. All right. How about BAH?
BAH. Bad? Oh, no.
Bali Aromatic Hydrocarbons.
Nice. That's awesome. You're thinking PAH.
Big as hell.
That does sound like something for the military. Yes. No, this would be what a low-ranking soldier would get when they get stationed on the base, a BAH.
Housing? Basic Army housing?
You got basic, you got housing.
Assigned? No.
Not assigned. How about I do this motion?
Allowance?
Basic allowance for housing, yes. Okay. Get a little bit of pay there. You know, what you were saying a moment ago, Nico, is not too far from the truth because they do get snarky at sometimes. BCG.
BCG. Basic?
Nope, it's not basic.
Big.
It's not big either, although it describes something big. BCG. Limp? they prefer to call them dirigibles.
Oh, Zeppelins.
Wow, a Zeppelin.
Oh, the humanity. Oh,
no, they're called birth control glasses. It's a nickname for glasses with very, very thick lenses, so ugly they make the wearers unattractive. I'm guessing they're referring specifically to welders when they talk about birth control glasses. Mm-hmm. Yes. How about MREs? Everybody knows those.
Meals ready to eat.
Yes, meals ready to eat.
Or exhale.
Or throw away.
Or exhume.
How about an NCO?
Non-commissioned officer.
Non-commissioned officer. Now we're off and rolling here. How about a PX?
It's the drugstore. It's the commissary.
Oh, it's a something exchange.
Yep.
Pharmacy.
Something exchange.
Like when we mail things, we call it the...
Post exchange.
Post, yes. Post exchange is like the store for military. This is the reason why my boss says Home Depot instead of Home Depot.
We call it
if he were from England, that's what.
Or the Home Despot.
I say Home Depot a lot.
Yes. How about Wilco? That's another one of those Alcon ones.
Will copy?
Nope.
Oh, no. Will.
If you're going to do it, then you would say Wilco.
Will comply.
Will comply, yes. Mm. If you're going to do something. E&E.
Exit and egress?
You're actually in the wheelhouse, but not the right words. First, you're going to get away from something.
Escape?
Mm-mm.
Evade?
Yes. And then you're going to escape.
Oh.
Evade and escape.
Oh, okay.
Could be used in referring to your commanding officer, I guess. I mean, I don't know.
Or taking quizzes.
How about DINFAC? D-I-N-F-A-C. It's another one of those portmanteaus.
Wait, it sounds like a Chinese brunch. Oh, no, wait. That's dim sum. My bad.
Nah. DINFAC. This is the sort of garbage I would put on my Google calendar for, like, dinner with the faculty. DINFAC.
D-I-N-F-A-C?
Mm-hmm. Actually has something to do with eating.
Dinner facilities.
Dining facility is what it's got.
There we go.
You guys put them all together. That was that we easily.
We're just hungry.
80%.
We're just
80%.
Hungry.
Very, very well done. Very, very well done. So what, as we sort of get close to wrapping up the show, what do you think Professor Roach is up to these days?
Probably about 5'10".
Yeah, I think he is.
But otherwise,
that's
fine.
Did you just ask what Professor Roach was up to?
Yes, and Professor Chow said about 5'10".
Yeah, give or take. Yeah. I've seen pictures of him chasing his son around. So.
Yes, his son is super, super cute. And
isn't he also been throwing into cushions or something like that?
Yeah,
that's right. That's right. There was some Facebook Live video, whatever you want to call it, along those lines. Yes, poor guy. We will see him again. We can do a little bit of a preview here without letting too many cats out of the bag or squirrels off the internet. We're planning some remote shows.
It's a secret location, right?
Secret location. Yep.
A secure, undisclosed
known
location.
Known only to Vivian Dix and myself, and by that I mean only Vivian. So stay tuned, and we're going to be able to first say goodbye, Professor Nico Seymour.
May the force be with you.
Professor Jim Tubbs.
Goodbye.
Professor Joe Abbasid.
See you next time.
Professor Kendra Evans.
Bye.
Professor Dave Chow.
See ya.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter at AskTheProfessor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies and the College of Liberal Arts and Education of the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced by Javon Holland, technically directed by Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Miles.